This is episode 11, Charismatic to the Core, Nikki Omar. Welcome to Entrepreneur Cups. My name is Svetlana, and each day we share an inspirational story or message to help you create the business and life you deserve. Hi, Nikki. Thanks so much for joining us at EntrepreneurCast today. It's a great privilege to have you, and I haven't seen you in a while, but I'm so happy to see you again.
Yes, well, snap. It's always lovely to see you. So good to connect.
Definitely. So, Nikki, before we start with the business side of things, I know you've been in business for a long time. Tell us first a little bit about who are you outside of your business life, and what do you enjoy doing in your spare time?
Well, it's interesting because I've created my business out of what I'm passionate about. So for me, my work is my hobby, and I'm just fascinated with the whole topic of charisma, with energy, with quantum mechanics, and really just exploring that is hidden beneath the surface. So I'm a paranormal investigator because it's another form of energy. I adore reading. I'm a fanatical dowsing expert. So I go around my grounds literally with dowsing rods looking for things. So I'm probably somewhat eccentric to many people.
So someone we really enjoy having on the show. It's always good to have someone who's different, you know, in so many ways. And that makes you, like, just so much more interesting than, let's say, an ordinary person. So, yeah, it's great.
Well, it's interesting you say that because, you know, I really believe that, you know, we all have something really interesting and special about us all. And what happens is that we almost become conditioned by what we think we should be. Yeah. And especially in a business context, and we play a role. So we almost lose that connection with what's really great about us, what makes us unique, what makes us really special. So I kind of think that for me, it was really what was an important, if you like, guiding principle in my own life was having the courage to really be myself in a business context, even though you wouldn't normally expect that I would work successfully in the business sphere. So, I just wanted to make that point that I think that when we're true to who we really are inside, we shine in our own unique way. And that makes all of us really special, I believe.
So that brings us really to your business. What's your business about, and what inspired you to start it?
Well, I only do one thing, and I have had a lifelong fascination for charisma. And charisma is not what you think. You know, I spent years and years and years trying to figure out, first of all, what is the definition? And, you know, can we teach? You know, is it possible that we can learn charisma? Can I teach it? Can I develop it in myself? Because what I witnessed is that when people are very charismatic, they seem to attract more of what they want much more easily and almost in an effortless way. So, and one of the things that I did discover as part of my research is that you can't actually teach charisma. And yet I've set up a whole business helping people, particularly those in the world of business, develop more of their innate charisma. So that's kind of my business. And my catalyst for that was when I was 18 and I was facing life imprisonment at the Old Bailey. I was charged with arson, endangering life and intent to kill. I was described as a maniacal psychopath, incurably insane and a danger to society. And I was effectively about to be sent down for years. And my barrister, Mr. Adezio, was the most charismatic man I'd ever witnessed. And on the 22nd of December in court number 13 at the Old Bailey, 1978, he made legal history because it was the first time that premenstrual syndrome was used as a defense in a court of law, and I walked free. And what I knew in that moment, I mean, I was completely a broken person, yet in that moment I saw charisma as being able to transform lives against all the odds. So it was at that moment that I became, if you like, hooked on this path about what is charisma. So that's kind of really what set me off. I don't know if that's what you expected me to say. People are often a little bit shocked, but you know, hey, it's who I am, and it's what set me on my journey.
And obviously that experience happened so many years ago that that's something that inspired you to kind of go and observe it further and study it further, and obviously become as charismatic as you are. So that's amazing. So would you say that that experience was the biggest challenging point in your life, or did you have a different kind of like the greatest challenge, really? That's what I'm looking for, and how did you overcome it?
I think I've had lots of challenges in my life. Funny enough, the worst moment was when I was in prison, you know, and I was in solitary confinement, and I was so violent that they kept the whole cell in darkness. And I remember a feeling at my most lost. And I never thought that anything could be worse than that. But it's only when I look back on that challenge now, when I look back on that awful time, do I realize that what I went through then actually defined the essence of who I am and my resilience. And it's almost like, well, I got through that and survived. And actually, is there anything else that could stop me really from doing that that I really desire? But life always throws up problems and challenges. And, you know, you're in business yourself. You know that, you know, things can be going really, really well. And then suddenly out of the blue, something major happens. And it can be emotionally devastating. It can be financially devastating. You know, in my own, you know, business that, you know, I built up a really successful organization, really driven by the fact that I felt a failure because of prison. I felt that people wouldn't take me seriously. So it became my key driver to prove to the world that I was worthy, and I was, you know, my life had meaning and I could add value to society. So, you know, that kind of push me into doing, you know, kind of proving to the world that I was worth something. The mistake I made was that it became all about doing what I was doing for other people to validate who I am. And I think I became caught up in the stuff, and, you know, I almost became obsessed with acquiring, you know, financial success, business success. You know, my daughter was at, you know, public school, private school. I was, you know, financially supporting, you know, members of my family. Along the way, I stopped doing work that I loved. I was doing it for everybody else. And I think at that point, I almost had a bit of a breakdown where I just thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing it? I was so fired up when I was 18, and then I just went off track, seduced by the money and the accolades and the awards and all of this, that I got off track. So for me, I found that harder to pick myself up because it wasn't so dramatic. You know, I think it was in 2006 when I made a vow to myself, I'm never going to do anything ever that doesn't feel in line with my purpose, my values. And if it doesn't make my heart sing, I'm not going to do it. Even if something else makes me more money, I'm not going to fall for that anymore. You know, and that's one of the things I always say to everybody, that, you know, when you're starting out in business, and hey, it's tough and you have to be resilient, but it really, really makes such a difference if you're doing that you love, and you're just have this burning desire within you that actually gives you that incentive to keep standing up every time you fall over.
You know, I'm so grateful you said that, because in my own family, my mom, for example, I mean, she's amazing, but she's not a business person. And whenever I talk to her about that people should do what they love or what they enjoy doing, she says to me, Svetlana, doing what you love is a luxury and you have to make a living. But doing what you love is a luxury when you have money. So it's very refreshing to hear someone who has been in business and, you know, who's been through a lot of challenging points in life and everything to say that you gotta do what you love, you know, not something that will just pay you a lot, but something that
Yes, and it's all about that when you do what you love, you vibrate at a vibration, a frequency that is on the love frequency, which is a really powerful frequency, because you effortlessly and naturally attract that you desire to you, rather than if in your heart you're feeling frustrated and irritated and angry that you're caught up in this, if you like, this hamster wheel of making a living, that there's no joy in it, that everything in your physical reality will just validate that you feel in your heart. So for me, it's a key thing that whatever we do, whoever we are, we have to listen to our emotions. We have to manage that emotional side of us, because when we are in balance, when we feel at ease with the person that we really are, life is at ease with us. And when we feel out of alignment, which if we're doing something that we loathe for the money, and I don't see that that's a luxury, because if we're, you know, I've had no money in my life, you know, and money is not any more important to me, because it's, I realized that, you know, I've had money and it didn't give me joy, and I ended up sabotaging and wrecking my business because it wasn't what I wanted anyway. And what happened when I wrecked my last business is I was able to realize that when you build something that is enduring and that is a legacy and actually is an extension of your vision, your guiding principles, if you do it from a place of this is what I really believe, I really want to do this, because, you know, every single person, every entrepreneur on the planet, there is a business that is so unique to them, because almost like their whole life has prepared them for this moment. If you look back on your life and you think of all the things that have happened to you, then it's almost like it was perfect training for the business that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. And it's true for everyone, no matter what line of business they want to go into. But if you think, right, I need to make money, I'll make money doing this, or I'll make money doing that. If that is out of alignment with you, you will unwittingly sabotage, hamstring, block your own ability to attract that you desire. So that's why I think that for anyone in business, any entrepreneur, it's about being really clear about what makes your heart sing. What is it that you do that you can bring to the planet that only you can bring in your own special way, even if you're working in a very competitive environment? I mean, I work in I'm an award-winning speaker. I'm a best-selling author, and my business is I accredit partners to deliver my programs, and I have a lot of online tools. And, you know, it's taken me a while. And if you think about it, there are thousands and thousands of speakers out there. There's thousands and thousands of authors out there. There's thousands and thousands of people that do what I do, but they don't do it in my unique way. And so my unique way is different, and it's not like anybody else. And it's about really recognizing that we have such a special quality about us all, that when we add that into our vision, it's almost like success becomes undeniable. It's almost like you cannot not succeed.
What would you say was your greatest success?
My greatest success was my daughter.
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, gosh, every time I think of Rose, She's off traveling at the moment. She's in Vietnam. I was always told I couldn't have children, always. And that's another thing, you know, when somebody tells you what is impossible, I wouldn't be too quick to believe that, because I was convinced. And then suddenly one day, I didn't even realize I was pregnant. I thought I was just feeling queasy. And I was pregnant. And when Rose came into the world, when I first saw my daughter, when I first held her in my arms, it was at that moment I believed in miracles. You know, being a mum is so much harder than running a business. And I have screwed up so spectacularly. And, you know, when she was 8 months, her dad, who I have a great relationship with now, but he left. And so it was quite tough, you know, as a single mum, working really hard, having to kind of like support us and be a good mum and earn a living. And it was a struggle. And I think I was a very challenging mum for her. But you know what? She's the most gorgeous, gorgeous woman. And I'm so proud of, you know, who she's become. And she and I, we have this understanding. She'll phone me when she's a bit down. She wants me when she's ill. And yet, you know, she's a free spirit. So that for me is my proudest moment. I'm sorry, it's nothing to do with business. And the other thing is that every time I work with people on a one-to-one basis. And I work very deeply with their unconscious mind. And, you know, often the issues that we manifest in our, you know, present moment often go back to childhood. I've just finished working with a gorgeous young woman, and so many of her issues went back to when she was 2 years old, and something that happened when she was 2 years old, a memory that she had no conscious recollection of. And it was totally life-changing. And it's almost like when I witness that level of transformation, and I realize that I'm in this privileged position of being able to see a person's vulnerability, I feel incredibly humble, I guess. It's, you know, and very proud that I'm able to be that catalyst for them. So, you know, I'm proud of lots of things, you know, really. I find it's a lot easier to be nice to yourself and say, well done and good on you, Nick, rather than all the things that I screw up on. I like to kind of forget about those if I can, because I do lots of screwing up as well.
We all do.
Yeah, we all do. It's called practice, isn't it, really?
Nikki, where do you come up with your best ideas?
So it's interesting, because I don't know if you're familiar with the term channeling. And, you know, because I meditate on and that's one of the things that, you know, if anyone listening to this, you know, the one biggest thing that will transform their life quickly is meditation, you know, daily meditation as part of their routine. It's so important. It's probably the most important thing I learned as part of a life skill. So when you clear away the emotional debris that's cluttering you up, then you are a very clear channel, which means that you gain ideas that just come into your mind. So I allow those ideas to come into my mind. So I can be taking a walk, I can be driving a car, I can be sitting, maybe painting, and sometimes, you know, I write a lot. I write a lot of blogs that are very controversial. And often I'll sit down and have no idea what I'm going to write about. And I just close my eyes. I get into almost an altered state. And I just set the intention, show me an idea. And an idea comes in and I just don't stop writing. And the blog's done within 45 minutes. I've written 1,000 words that I didn't even know I'd written. So I think sometimes if we try, and I use the word try very deliberately, if we try to come up with an idea, often it blocks us because our conscious mind is so contained. Yet if we open ourselves and we just set the intention, send me an idea, the ideas come in. We just have to be open and ready to receive them. That's all.
So, you know, for people who tried meditating and kind of weren't able to do it, or maybe keep falling asleep, what would be basic principles of meditating for those who don't know how to?
So it was interesting because when I first started meditating, I had thoughts that were running around my head at 300 miles an hour. It was really, really busy. And the thought of actually not thinking was completely impossible. So I had an idea. I had an idea that I would create hypno meditations for people like me because I found it impossible to meditate. And so what I did is I created a voice for the conscious mind, another voice for the unconscious mind, and another voice for the higher self. So I blended three of my voices, all talking different things at the same time, which overloaded the conscious mind and created a hypnotic state. I then used binaural beats technology, which induces a deep trance. And then my sister composed music for them. So I created these hypno meditations. Incidentally, if anybody would like to receive some as a gift, they can just get in touch with me, and I'm very happy to send them out to people if they'd like to try them. So for a couple of years, I was using these hypno meditations. They were working brilliantly. And what I realized is that they weren't really meditating. What they were doing, they were retraining my brain to feel positive and confident, which was good, but it wasn't meditating. And then I came across Vedic meditation. And Vedic meditation is the easy, effortless way to meditate. And it effectively, you use a mantra. Usually it's a Sanskrit mantra. It's a word that has such a resonance to it that when you repeat the mantra, it actually causes you to go deep into the void. And then when you go deep into the void, you stop saying your mantra because you're in the void, and then you start to come out and have thoughts. And when you realize you're thinking again, you say the mantra and you go back into the void again. So with meditation, I would always recommend Vedic meditation. If people, I mean, I trained with Will Williams in London. Fantastic. I think their courses for beginners are £300. I have no personal gain in recommending him. It's just that I just, from going from not meditating to meditating twice a day for 20 minutes, it has been a life changer. So that's something that I think is really important. And you know, the first thing I do in the morning, I wake up, I go for a wee, I come back to bed, I sit up in bed, because if you lay down, you're giving your body the command, your brain, to sleep. So you sit up, your back is supported, your head is unsupported, you close your eyes, you ask your unconscious mind to tell you when 20 minutes is up, and it does, it will. And then you start saying your mantra slowly, easily, effortlessly. And before you know it, your 20 minutes is up. And it enables you to process, it enables you to release some of the junk, and it's just wonderful. And you do it twice a day. It's incredible.
Do you have any personal hero, people who inspire you?
Well, I have to be absolutely honest. A lot of people inspire me a lot. You know, I often catch myself, like my clients, like my friends, sometimes people just get me in the heart and I just think, wow. And just recently, with everything that's gone on with the US presidential elections, and I'm writing a lot about that at the moment, is that Barack Obama, he has this wonderful grace about him. He's very gracious. He has this statesman-like aura. His energy is very calm, it's very safe, it's very humble. And there is such a wonderful kind of energy of love around him and a gentleness that for me, I find him extremely inspirational. I really like people who are really authentic, you know, people that have the courage to be totally true to who they really are inside. And I think I gain inspiration from different people at different times in my life. There's always people that inspire me, always.
Nikki, what would be your top three tips and strategies in business for people who listen in us today?
Well, my first top tip is meditate. Really. And I know I've spoken about that, but it just clears away your emotional debris so that you are able to focus on that you want rather than get caught up in the baggage of the past. So for me, it's really look after yourself, and meditate would be an important thing. The second thing would be, when you are in business, really trust your instincts and not, you know, the kind of the facts. You know, the facts are fine, but what does your gut say? What does your heart tell you? And I think that often, you know, we have a conscious mind, we have an unconscious mind. Our conscious mind can only retain, what, 7 chunks of information. Our unconscious mind absorbs 2 to 10 million bits of information every moment. And because of that, it's a great feedback mechanism. So, you know, the way our unconscious mind gives feedback to the conscious mind is through our emotions. So if we're feeling an emotion that makes us feel good, it's if you like, a compass, it's a guidance that we are doing things in alignment with us. If we are feeling emotion that feels bad, then there's something we need to pay attention to. And if we don't pay attention to our emotions, then it often can get us into trouble. So listen to your emotions is really, really important when it comes to making decisions of anything, whether making decisions about people you're going to recruit, different you know, processes you're going to implement. That's really important. And the third thing is, whatever you decide to do, whatever you are doing, do that you love. Because when you do what you love, you bring into your business this vibrant, sparkly, magical energy that has a life force all of its own that constantly stimulates and excites you, so that work never really feels like work. It just feels like one grand adventure. So they are my 3 top tips. I don't know if I've gone into strategy. That's way too complex for me. But that's given people food for thought, really.
Are there any, perhaps discovered by you, resources in business that could help our audience?
Yes, I tell you, there was I think there's somewhere there was a book called The Check-In Strategy Journal, written by Adam Harris and Robert. Oh, and he's going to be mad because I can't remember his second name, bless him. But it's The Check-In Strategy Journal. And what this does, this actually is almost like an action planner that doesn't help you just action plan for your business. It also helps you action plan personally as well. So it blends the personal and business, which is a really kind of important thing, I think, when you're an entrepreneur. So it gives you a structure to managing the most important facets of your life and how they blend together. So that, I think, is a really useful resource. I've mentioned Will Williams for the Vedic meditation. If it's not convenient for people to go to London, if they just Google Vedic meditation, you can see courses everywhere for it, and it's the one with the mantra, and I really kind of recommend it. If people would like to receive any of my hypno meditations, I would be very happy to send them as a gift to help them, if you like, empower their confidence. And yes, I think that resources come from the challenges that we have overcome in our life. So one of the things I do on New Year's Eve every single year is I always write down all the things that perhaps have upset me a little bit over the year, all the people, the relationships haven't been that great. And I write down what it was, what I learned, and then how it's defined and changed me in a positive way. So I think learning from what we've gone through is an important part of being able to maintain our focus on who we are now, and that, if you like, informs, you know, where we're going in the future.
So I know you're a reader, and you read quite a lot. Was there any specific book that changed your life?
Oh, there was loads. So, you know, one of my favorites is Living Magically by Jill Edwards. Wow, what a book. Another one is The Celestine Prophecy by James Redfield that talks about everybody we meet has an insight to give us. And often we're not listening or aware of the insight and we don't get the gift from all these people. And I love that because it makes us such great listeners. I also love The Intention Experiment by Lynn McTaggart. In fact, that book inspired my own Big Apple experiment that proves you can affect physical reality by the power of your thoughts. So they are kind of three books that for me were life-changing books. And of course, Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now. That's a mind-blowing read too. So they're my kind of four favorite books, apart from The Secret Garden, which was a limited edition book that my grandma bought me when I was very little, that I read still even now.
Can you also just tell us the names of your books? Because I know you've written two books, and I will leave below the link for them. It's just remind us the names of the books you've written and kind of briefly, what are they about?
So the first book, which is actually out of print now, and I think you can buy it on Amazon for a penny, which is crazy, secondhand, is my autobiography, which is Nicola, A Second Chance to Live. And it is about my own journey, my personal journey. And I always remember that at the time, it attracted a lot of publicity. And I think Prince Edward did phone me in the office one day because he wanted to make a movie out of my life. So I remember that was a giddy time at that moment. So that's out of print, but you can still buy it secondhand on Amazon, although I am thinking now I should republish. And then my latest book is a book that has taken me 25 years to write. So it wasn't a quick book, but it is kind of charismatic to the core, which is a fresh approach to authentic leadership. And it literally shares everything I've learned that has enabled me to go from the girl I was in Holloway Prison, facing a life, you know, in prison, to the woman I am today. It's where I share everything that has worked for me. So they're my two books.
I think anyone who will read your books will rub off you a little bit and get a huge value of all of it and hopefully get the insight to the person you are, which will be a huge privilege for everyone. So obviously you've done quite a lot and achieved a lot and you've been in business for 27 years. And
longer.
Oh, is it even longer? Oh my God.
Yes. Well, yes, 27, 28 years. Yes. It's actually my own business, running my own business. Yeah. For that long. Yes.
And you just published the new book as well. So what is next? What Nikki is going to do next? And what's your next challenge or aim or goal? And perhaps if anyone listens who could potentially help you or, you know, contact you and maybe give you the right contact or help you in any way, who would be that person?
So what's next for me is I'm just launched my partner proposition where we're bringing charisma into organizations, which is very exciting. That's all kind of underway. So what's next for me is to take my message to the US. That's where I feel I can make a real impact with my message. So I'm excited about that. I'm really working on more, if you like, soul journey work. So, you know, I've been working within the business context, even though I'm considered to be quite unusual in my approaches, because I do get business leaders dowsing. I show them how to balance their chakras. So I am considered slightly woo, whatever that means, but they love it. But I now want to take the wisdom and the knowledge that I've acquired and I'm being given and really start to work more on communicating and helping people at a soul level so that whatever they're doing, that they're living their life where their conscious mind, their unconscious mind, and their soul is totally aligned. And for me, that feels very exciting. It feels pioneering work. So if there's anyone out there that has just heard what I've said and thinks, oh, this would be something great for Nikki to think about, I would always be very grateful and very open to anything, any suggestion any of your listeners, you know, have that they feel they would like to share with me. So thank you as well for offering that.
Thank you, Nikki. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you would like to share or advice or any other tips you would like to give to the audience?
I would just like to say to the audience that, you know, charisma is an authentic power that captivates the hearts and minds of others. You know, to put it another way, that when you are being you and you love what you do, you shine. And my greatest wish for your audience is that they find the courage to let go of anything that stops them from being absolutely true to who they really are inside. And, you know, for me, that is the secret, really, of life. It's being true and accepting who you are and allowing that essence to shine in your own unique way.
Thank you. What's the best way for people to find you and connect to you?
So I have a couple of websites. I have nikkijowen.com, and I also have charismaconnection.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Nikki Owen. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter. I'm on Twitter as Charisma Nikki. I think if people want to get in touch with me, they'll find a way.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. Full of value, as always. Thank you for that, Nikki, and until the next time.
Yes, take care, Svetlana.